Today, we're going to talk about the end of celebrity Christianity.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. This is Michael Brown. This is going to be a very important and eye-opening broadcast. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and share it with a friend. If you're watching on Facebook, like, share. Make sure we help get this out. Listening on radio, podcast, tell a friend to join in. Number to call to join in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. If you'd like to continue any of the conversation we had yesterday, listening to those who have been hurt while silencing the voices of the mockers, by all means, you can call. We'll continue to discuss that, 866-348-7884. Practical questions to process with the scandals, the challenging times we have been passing through. And I'm writing about this all the time. If you're not getting my articles, if you're not aware of them, that means you're not getting my emails. Because once a week, at the end of the week, we send out an email. Here are the latest articles. Here are the latest videos. So you don't miss anything. You don't have to go anywhere. Look for them. They'll come right to you. You can read what you're interested in, watch what you're interested in, share what you think is worthy of being shared. But you get those just by going to the Line of Fire, thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Just click on subscribe, and we will get those to you. Let me just get my phone system on my screen here, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. The end of celebrity Christianity. What do I mean by celebrity Christianity? First, let me say what I do not mean. I do not mean that megachurches are wrong in and of themselves. I do not mean that being well known in the gospel is wrong. I do not mean that you cannot be someone who is a celebrity, a sports star, a political leader, an actor, someone well known to the world, and follow Jesus at the same time. I don't mean any of that. And in point of fact, I love many megachurches. I've preached in some of the finest megachurches around the world. I've seen some of them really winning the lost, really making disciples, really doing a quality work, really impacting their communities and beyond. And I rejoice in that. And I rejoice in what God is doing in house churches. Some of my colleagues are house church leaders around the world, doing extraordinary work in different countries where even the idea of a megachurch would be impossible. And each one can have strengths and weaknesses. The megachurch can tend to the celebrity preacher with the audience. And you've got the superstar up there, the amazing orator, and wow, and charisma, and the audience. And that can be very destructive in many ways, and it's not conducive to discipleship. And then you can have in the house church mentality, sometimes an elitism and almost a cult-like mentality. In other words, things can go wrong. Any setting can go wrong, and God can work in any setting. But when you have the megachurch setting, or when you have the culture where you become somebody, the social media influence, everybody knows you, suddenly you become a celebrity in your world, it is urgently important that we do everything we can to work against the superstar celebrity mentality. And I truly believe, I'm not pointing fingers at others. In fact, I do not have a single individual in mind as I speak. But I truly believe that God, in these days that we're living in and in the days ahead, is going to deal a serious blow, if not a death blow, to celebrity Christianity in America. It exists in America. It exists in some other nations as well. But let's just say America is known for it. Look, America has amazing qualities and terrible qualities. And one of our amazing qualities is that we know how to make everything bigger and better. And one of our worst qualities is we know how to make everything Christian and sell it. And by make it Christian, I don't mean sanctify it. I mean put it in the garb, the packaging of Christian and sell it and promote it. And we have built a culture now of exalting the man of God, exalting the woman of God, exalting this anointed person. I've seen it in charismatic circles. I've seen it in cessationist circles. I've seen it across the board. The exaltation of the man or the woman of God. It is destructive. It is harmful. And to the extent that we as leaders cultivate it, it is a sign of sickness in our own soul. To the extent that we as leaders want it, glory in it, want to be the big man, want to be the big woman, want to have everybody looking at us, to that extent, we are immature and carnal. Even if God is using us in many ways, it doesn't mean that our character has caught up to where our ministry prominence is. And the moment we strut, the moment we think we are somebody, the moment we think we are above correction, the moment we think that we are above accountability, the moment we think we are bigger or better or somebody superior, we have really stepped into dangerous, dangerous territory. God help us to get low. You may say, you don't understand. I'm called to reach millions. Well, I'm called to reach millions. I get that. I'm burdened to reach nations. I'm burned with a burden to impact my Jewish people around the world. I burn with an impact to shake America. I know I'm called to reach millions, but I have no desire to be known. I have no desire. Oh, let's just say this. God knows the depths of my heart. God knows what's in my flesh that I don't know about. But what burns in me is that I want to be known. I want to be seen. No, I want the gospel to go forth. I want people to be touched. If that means that the whole world knows my name, or if it means nobody knows my name, as long as God's glorified, as long as Jesus is working, as long as eyes are on him, yes, praise God, I'm thrilled. Let me read what I wrote to you in 1989 in my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, the second book that I wrote, but the first revival-themed book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, 1989. Look outside of the United States. Why do some home churches in communist China accomplish more in a month without media or money than many of our mega congregations accomplish in a year? Because they are sold out to Jesus and dead to the world, and they live for souls in the Lord. And that is truly the gospel. That is God's way to succeed. But the more we depend on our earthly endeavors, the less of God's help we will see. We have laid the trap for ourselves. Consider how we have been snared. We make our, quote, ministers famous and exalt them to celebrity status. I wrote this in 1989. Now they need to go on the air, but they're too simple, unpolished. So they must learn the new rules of this game. They must become suave and professional. Their message must bring in the crowds. Success is now measured by the ratings. Daily prayers are lifted up for the funds. The best marketing agents are hired, and production crews grow and abound. But little by little, the anointing is left. The spirit didn't fit in the show. Don't we see how our hyper-professionalism reeks of the arm of flesh? Don't we recognize how far we've fallen from the simplicity of the Messiah? We've exchanged soul winning for showmanship and passed up travail for talent. Once we had powerful ministries challenging us with the word. Now we have multimedia extravaganzas, and even sinners find them fun. Salesmanship is at an all-time high, salvation at a relative low. Look at how much things have changed. Consider the example of Paul. He did not peddle the word for profit. He did not market shoddy goods for gain, 2 Corinthians 2:17. But today we're filled with new gimmicks. Will it sell? Is the name of the game. Paul told the Corinthians that he was poor, yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything, 2 Corinthians 6:10. Some of our leaders have gotten it backwards. They are rich and making many poor. The contributions of the needy have financed their affluent lifestyles. They have everything, yet possess nothing. They live in material plenty while their lives are spiritually poor. How gross in God's eyes this must seem. 1989, I wrote this. We have milked the body for money and used his word to stake our claims. We have mastered the free will offerings with deals no one could refuse. And we have appealed to man's greediest motives, promising instant hundredfold returns. Paul spoke of men with corrupt minds who think that godliness is a means to financial gain, 1 Timothy 6:5. How much longer can this go on? God is saddened by our enterprising mentality, our get-rich-on-the-gospel approach. Do you hear him quietly weeping? He is heartsick and filled with grief. Is there nothing sacred anymore? We have given, we have prayed, we have waited and believed for so long, but we have done it all for ourselves. We have learned to live like king's kids, unmoved by the cries of the poor. We have learned to succeed and prosper, oblivious to the suffering of the world. We sit insulated and hardened to missions, yet entranced by the TV's warm glow. Our senses are dull. Our hearts are cold. We live too far from the cross. Our funds have been spent on our own edification, and our energy is devoted to build up our lives. We are stuffed with new revelation and gorged with the hottest new truth. Yet instead of getting healthy, we're fat. Instead of getting stronger, we're stale. We are specialists in praise and worship and experts on interpretive dance. Apostles and prophets are again in our midst, and word teachers fill our whole land. But the old-time power is missing, and divine visitation is rare. The blessing of God is departing, and we are left with a great big game. Our ship has set sail. Its decks are all full, but the wind of the Spirit has waned. Listen to the word of the Lord, Haggai 1:5-9. Your careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have you fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew it away. What a picture of the American church. The gospel show is now over, and its business is beginning to close. The gospel firm is folding, and its industry is shutting their doors. The gospel ship is sinking. We've come to the end of the dream. Let me say this on a positive side, friends. If you look at the major Christian TV networks, there was a lot of fundraising corruption in the past and a lot of celebration of carnality. A lot of that's disappeared. A lot of that's been removed, and there have been many, many changes. And God continues to shake not just our individual lives, but our whole systems. But there is a deeper shaking. Sometimes these things take decades and decades, but the deeper shaping now is saying celebrity Christianity is a stench in God's nostrils. The exalting of men and women as if they were superstars, and those people glorying in it and building systems to support it is a stench in God's nostrils. And he is bringing it down because he loves his people, he loves his church, and is jealous for the name of Jesus.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here in this bottle that I'm drinking, this bottle of water, is a combination of nitric oxide and MyoHealth. Normally I have it in the morning or right before a workout, but got busy earlier today and just to start the radio show. It's not like drinking Red Bull, you get this rush. It's just healthy stuff, healthy supplement. So you say, aren't you marketing stuff? Oh, here's the deal. 100% of your first order is donated to the Line of Fire and more than tithe of all subsequent orders. So because I use these wellness products myself and Trivita is super generous, we say, hey, I think these benefit you. I think you'll enjoy them and it helps the gospel go forward. So I'm happy to do it. And take a sip there and finish the rest before the next break. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to share something else with you from my book, From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire, which came out in 1995, 3 months before the Brownsville Revival. So we talk about the end of celebrity Christianity. The closing words of the book are you ready? I knew something was at the door ready to break. Here's what I wrote back then, 1995. The servant of the Lord